do want to bring Christian greetings. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again. I appreciate the thoughts that have been shared. It's just been a blessing to me the whole service. The thoughts there on winter, you know, it's been a foggy week. I don't know how many of you have thought about that. Some have more than others. I know someone was telling me, I think just last night, you know, it's just really foggy, and it affects us in different ways, but fog is, it's not good for, don't make for good driving conditions. You can't see very far. Your vision is limited. But, you know, winter is real. It's here. This morning, I'd like to, if you would, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. I was thinking, I've titled the message, Perpetual Blessing. I want to look at Elijah's life here. And some of the things he faced in this time of his life. Maybe we'll just read the whole chapter. It said, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came again unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came again unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord God sent, that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn, by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. And we have a very familiar story here. Story of a man of God that knew that his life was going to be in danger. First of all, he faced the same drought that he prophesied, that he told Ahab about, that he told Ahab would come to pass. You know, when it doesn't rain for 6 weeks, it gets pretty dry here in the summertime. If it doesn't rain longer, then it gets really dry. Many of us, just a couple summers ago, I think it was 2012 when it was so dry. We had a nice spring. Then the rain quit. The grass kind of went away. Hay was fed in the summertime that was meant for wintertime. Those that tried to prepare for winter, it just didn't work out the way they planned. And usually when it's dry, it's hot. Well, God told Elijah to go down to the brook Cherith, hide himself, and he said he would provide by ravens, and he could drink from the brook. Now, did Elijah have friends? Did he have a church? Did he have people that looked out for him? He was, maybe we'd say desolate. He was all alone. God told him to go down to this brook. And he said, the ravens will feed you. Nowhere else to look for help but God. But, you know, God provided for him despite what was going on around him. Now, this didn't happen without a relationship. There was communication, and Elijah was obedient. He heeded the call. He heeded what God asked him to do. You know, he could have done, like we heard last Sunday about another Old Testament character, he could have jumped and fled. He could have said, you know, I'm done with these people that are following after Baal, these people that are praying to these gods, these other gods. I'm out of here. But he listened. He could have probably found a lot better living conditions than what he had here. You know, why sit here and deal with this long drought? You know, God needed him where he was. And he stayed. Well, we know as time went on, that brook dried up. You know, brooks are the first thing to dry up. When there's dry, then the larger bodies of water dry up. You know, what was Elijah thinking during this time? He was thinking, God, why did you send me here? You promised, you told me that I could drink from the brook, the ravens would feed me. What was happening? What do you think was going on in his mind as the little brook got narrower and narrower and narrower, down to almost nothing? Maybe he had dug a hole in a place that he could still dip out water as long as, maybe water was sitting there a little longer, even after it quit running. Like some of our dry creeks, if you dig a hole, you'll find water. Finally, it just disappeared. It was gone. God, what do I do now? You know, God could have kept that brook going. He could have kept that brook going even if there was no rain. Just as easy as he could have kept the meal and the flour there for the woman in Zarephath. But he had other plans for him. You know, maybe Elijah wasn't tempted to become discouraged like we are. But we know that after that great victory at Mount Carmel, a little later in the next chapter or two, he did become discouraged. James 5:17 says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. It says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know, he was a person just like you and I. But God had another place in mind for him. Was there someone else that was also in need, that was crying out for mercy, for help, in a time of great distress? Someone in need. And God had a purpose in sending Elijah to a temporary place. And is there a lesson in that for us today? You know, do we make ourselves too permanent? Hebrews says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I wonder sometimes, do we really seek that one to come? Are we preparing for that, for winter? Do our lifestyles portray that? Are we open to open doors? Are we looking, like we heard in the devotional this morning, for things around us, for places to help? For things that God is putting there for us that he's making available, but we don't have time. Can God depend on you and I to be his hands and his feet? What am I willing to do for the one who gave his all for me? You know, Elijah had to get out of his comfort zone. And you may not think that his situation would have been a very comfortable zone, but he had food, he had water, he had what he needed there. His needs were supplied, but the brook dried up. How long was he here? You know, we don't really know. It could have been, some commentators think it might have been a couple years out of that 3 years and 6 months. But his water source disappeared. You know, are you facing areas in your life where the brook is drying up? It can be in any area or in any era of our lives. We're facing change. We fear to get out of our comfort zone. You know, God has a plan. He will provide. You know, it may not be the way that I have planned. It may not be what I want. It may not be what you want. But I wonder what Elijah was thinking. I'm sure if he was like a man like I am, like you are, we have plans. We want to try to plan ahead. We want to try to strategize, you know, what if this happens, then we'll do this. Maybe not. Maybe he was just sitting there patiently waiting on God, knowing he would provide. But to ask, to think of going 90 miles across that open desert or whatever the country is like, open country, knowing that he was a wanted man, did Elijah struggle with feelings like, you know, God, have you forgotten me? I'm trying to obey you the best I can, and I just don't have a clear answer. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Now, God knows where you are. He knows your name. And more than that, he knows where you are going. He has a plan for each one of his children. God provided an unusual place. You know, maybe Elijah was hoping for some room off the side of some rich person's mansion, some estate, somewhere where he could have a nice room. And maybe now there was time for some better food, some meat and potatoes instead of being fed by the ravens. But in verse 8 it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." You know, why did God send Elijah to Gentile territory, to a foreigner that did not serve the same God? Zarephath means refinery or smelting place. And I don't know if there was a reason, if the name, if there was a connection there, if it's just coincidence, but regardless, it's interesting. You know, God sometimes chooses to put us in a difficult or challenging places to refine us, to knock off the rough edges. You know, think of the three Hebrew boys. They literally faced the fire. They walked through it. We know that God miraculously kept them safe. And how many times does God keep us, whether we realize it or not? Ultimately, following God, we have everything to gain, even if we don't survive physically. Verse 10 there to 13, says, "He arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." Notice her response. As she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die." And what are some things that stand out here? You know, God sent him to a desolate person for help. He said, "Go down here, this woman will provide for you." This woman, she's a widow. She had to make ends meet herself. Here she was the one that he was told was commanded to sustain him. What do you think went through his mind when he asked her for a drink and then food, and he discovers her plight? But notice her willingness there to get a drink. She went right away. He was hot and tired, no doubt, after that dusty trek. And she willingly went to get this man a drink. But he called after her and asked for a morsel of bread. Remember, it had been a long time since he had bread as such, at least bread that wasn't delivered by the ravens. But one thing that stands out, this woman was preparing despite her circumstances. She was out gathering sticks, even though she thought this was her and her son's last meager meal. I believe this is the spirit that God is looking for, a willingness to go in faith even when things look bleak, a willingness to give even when she had very little to give. In fact, humanly speaking, she had nothing to give. You know, looking at it from man's perspective, there was nothing she had to give. Every normal instinct would tell you that you have to care for your child. You have to take care of those that you're responsible for, the ones that you are responsible to protect. We notice her obedience even when she had a heavy burden on her heart. Her hands were tied, her house was empty, but yet God chose to use her and she obeyed. Elijah was obedient to God's commands, and this woman was obedient to what God asked of her, or to what Elijah asked of her in this case. But I would tend to think that something about the kindness in this man's eyes, something about the way he spoke, she just felt like she must obey. It says God commanded her, and I don't know what all that entailed. But without Elijah's faith and her obedience, a great blessing would have been lost. A story that has been an inspiration to countless people wouldn't have been recorded. You know, looking at her perspective from a human perspective, there was not much hope. Eat and wait to die. And Elijah said, don't be afraid. Don't worry. Jesus says in Matthew 6, he says, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, for her to live, it was imperative that she gave. Or we could say she gave to live. In essence, Elijah was saying, put me first. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Christ must have the preeminence in our lives. You know, if God is not first, there is another God in our lives, like we heard last Sunday. If God is, Elijah was in the situation he was in because the Israelites were following Baal. There was another God involved here. The God, the fertility God, the God that they believed sent the rain, the God that blessed their crops and made them grow, the God that blessed them, the fertility in their cattle, in their stock. You know, God wanted to show them that he was the one that was in control of all things. He was the one that demanded their worship. You know, God is a jealous God. Elisha tells this woman to bake me a cake first, and afterwards bake one for yourself. You know, in this little, it says barrel, but I think those most commentators feel like it would have been a clay pot, a little bit of meal down there in the bottom, a little bit of oil. And he says, go bake me one first. And there was not enough to bake him one first. But there was a promise attached. He says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. The crock with the meal and the oil will not run out. Do you think this woman comprehended what he said? I don't know, but she acted in faith. She obeyed. She went, and she did as Elijah had asked her. You know, Elijah didn't tell her to go fill all the jugs like the woman that was about to lose her sons, and they had her gathering jugs and fill them up and sell the oil. No, he just told her, just keep using it. It won't go away. It won't fail. She had sufficient. She had a daily supply, like the man in the wilderness. There was enough to meet the demands of the day. And verse 15 says, she went and did according to the saying Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. You know, her obedience blessed not only her and her son, but Elijah. And it says her house. So I don't. She may have an extended family that were blessed by her faithfulness, by her obedience. You know, obedience affects those around you. It blesses those of your household. It blesses your community, church. It has far-reaching effects. Now, this widow had very little, but she gave what she had. And it became much in the master's hands. You know, she didn't have a backup savings account. She didn't have anything she could go back to. But she gave everything she had. She wasn't holding back. We heard this morning about the story of the little boy with the two fish and the five loaves. You know, that boy didn't have another little baggie stuck in his pocket that, okay, you can have this, but I've got a little reserve down here. He gave all he had, and he gave it willingly, and it became much in the master's hands. And we serve a master that is not limited. You know, too many times it is us that place the limitations, our faithfulness, our unwillingness to leave the brook that is drying up. Our unwillingness to step out of our comfort zone to be his hands and his feet, his mouthpiece. You know, are you willing to speak out for him? Hudson Taylor's motto was, God's work done in God's way will receive God's supply. God's work done in God's way will receive God's supply. And what was true of God's provision for Elijah and the woman at Zarephath can also be applied to our daily spiritual needs. You know, God gives us the grace and the strength for the daily battles we face if we're willing to trust him. You know, he knows the situation of every brook that we face in our lives, every brook that is drying up, every journey we're going through. He has a plan and a road, and it may not always be easy. It may not be the way we would like to go. You know, we come to places that we wonder, God, do you ask us to leave the dry brook, to walk across the dangerous, dry, open desert? Suddenly the door is closed. Did we not hear right? You know, God, did you really mean for us to go this way? Questions come up. You know, after the prophet comes to Zarephath, things have again settled into a routine. Till one day things went for the worse. Verse 17, it says, the son of the woman fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou coming to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And we see Elijah's response there. And it seems to me we see the heart of the master. You know, Jesus was always compassionate. We don't see a rebuke. And Elijah could have very well had a close relationship with this boy. He might have spent a lot of time teaching him about the God of Israel. We see his heart went out to this desperate mother's cry. What sin was she talking about? We don't know. But we know that we deal with the very real effects of sin in this world. And we see the anguish and the suffering that sin produces. And there was no sickness. There was no pain or suffering before the fall. Sin brought all this on. Here Elijah was blamed. You know, this woman's cry of anguish was a natural outburst of grief. The accusations reflects the difference between them. You know, Elijah seems to be unaffected. She sees the tragedy as a punishment. But Elijah didn't remain unaffected. He became very involved and interceded for her. You know, in the spiritual realm, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. 1 John 2, verse 1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." You know, sometimes in trying to help, we are perceived as the enemy, like Elijah here. Ahab considered Elijah his enemy. You know, when he met up with him later, he said, "Oh, my enemy." If we are an influence for Christ in this world, we will face times we are considered the enemy. Notice again Elijah's response. He didn't condemn her. Rather, he cried out to God for her. He pointed her in the right direction. He took the child in his arms. He carried the weight of anguish and bitterness. You know, are we willing to be his hands and his feet? Notice Elijah's cry. Why? God heard, and he answered. He brought the child to his mother and said, "See, thy son liveth." You know, beautiful words. You just imagine the joy in that mother's face. You know, are we willing to lay our lives on the line for those that are dead in sin? Are we in a position to offer real comfort, real answers, real hope? You know, we don't have them in ourselves, but they're here. They're here in the Word of God. I'd just again like to challenge, you know, let's give to live. Let's be willing to give all. You know, God asks us to, that's all he asks of us, is our all. He wants everything. Just like the woman with her meal and her flour, her oil. Just like the little lad that gave his everything he had there, all his food. You know, if we're willing to do that, God can use us. He will have things for us to do. He will show us the road. He'll show us where he wants us to go. And we can be a blessing, a perpetual blessing to those around us, to all those we come in contact with. 1 Peter 3:15 in closing, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let's kneel for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, we again come to Thee, realizing how small we are and how great You are, realizing what You have done for us and how everything we have is nothing. There's nothing we can do to repay that debt. We just pray that You might help us to reach out, to be willing to follow Your direction and guidance in our lives, to be open and sensitive, and just pray that You might direct and show us what direction to go when the brooks are dry, and that we might be able to be used of you, to be your hands and your feet. We just pray that you might be with each one here. Lord, you know each struggle. You know what we're facing. You know the uncertainties. Lord, just help us to be there for each other, to be vessels in your hands. We just want to commit each one to you. Pray especially for those that couldn't be here this morning because of sickness. We just pray your blessing and healing for them. We just pray that you might bless this service, and everything that's done or said might be to your honor and glory, might be an inspiration, and that we might be able to go forward better fitted for what you have for us. We just pray your blessing on the service in Oklahoma and the ones in the service there tonight. We just want to commit that to you. I just pray that your will might be done there. Give strength and give courage. We just ask all these favors and blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.